Blog Talk Radio.
I want you to sing that old song that goes like this. In the morning, when I rise, in the morning. In the morning. Mother's funeral. My grandmother, Big Mama, she's in heaven. But the only way we could go through that grief was to think about the morning when we were out. This is my oldest sister. That's one of the first songs I heard her sing. They call it a congregational song. And this happened in testimony service. Usually somebody would testify and then they'd start singing this song. She was about 10 years old maybe when she sang it. She's somewhere around 67 now. No, I'm kidding. She's the first one baptized in the Holy Ghost in our family. Why don't you take a little bit of it, baby, sing it in the morning. But there's still a lot of things the Lord took you through that you don't even understand. There was a little old lady, little old church mother named Mother Sherman. She was what we call a district missionary. She was the church mother of our church, the Jackson Memorial Church of God in Christ in San Diego, California. She went to heaven when she was 101, I think. And she was such a sweet little darling. She was about four. She looked like she was about 4'3". But a powerful preaching woman. And when I was a little boy, she used to say to me, she heard I was saved. I got saved when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And they heard about this little Pearson boy that was saved. And she'd always come to me and said, "Son, you yet holding on?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm yet holding on." She said, "Well, keep on keeping on then, baby." She said that all the time. Every time I said, "You yet holding on?" Them old missionaries always going thought you was going to backslide between Sundays, you know. "You yet holding on?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Well, keep on holding on, baby." And she'd give me a nickel. And then when I get a little older, she gave me a dime. "You yet holding on?" I said, "Yes, Mother Sherman, I'm yet holding on." "You keep on keeping on, baby." She gave me a quarter. By the time I got ready to go to college, she was up to a dollar. I remember I came back from my freshman college year here at Oral Roberts University, and I saw Mother Sherman. She said, "Baby, you yet holding on?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm yet holding on." She said, "Well, you keep on keeping on then, baby." She never did get above a dollar. She stayed at that dollar. But the last time I saw her alive, Bishop Morton, she was in a nursing home. And my godmother took me out to see her. She had lost her teeth. They couldn't find her teeth. She couldn't remember who I was. Our pastor, Bishop J. Blake, whose son Charles will be preaching in a little bit, Charles Blake. Bishop Blake had gone to heaven, and Mother Sherman didn't know it yet. She couldn't remember the name of our church. And it kind of broke my heart. And I said, "Mother Sherman," she said, "What is it, baby?" I said, "You remember me?" She said, "How long been with you?" I said, "Where's your teeth, Mother?" She said, "I don't know, they done lost them." I said, "Well, I'm Carlton Pearson. You used to encourage me a lot, Mother, when I went to church. You was always telling me to keep on keeping on." She said, I was saved when I was a little boy, and your ministry has blessed me over the years." She said, "Oh, it did." I said, "Yeah, well, you were so sweet." She said, "That's because you were sweet." She said, "You get holding on?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm yet holding on." She said, "Well, then you just keep on keeping on, baby." I said, "Well, I'm going to go, Mother Sherman. I just want to love you and pray for you. But there's one little song I want to sing for you before we leave." Now, she couldn't remember the name of the church. She couldn't remember my name. She couldn't even remember our pastor, Bishop Blake. But I sang this song. "By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God get, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand." I wondered if she understood it, but as soon as I started singing, she started moving a little head. And I never did know the verse, but I sang it through one time. Then she said they'd been making noise in that nursing home. She said, "But it ain't our kind of noise." "We'll understand it better," I said, "by and by, Mother." She went like this. "Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, come on, oh, the saints of God, we will tell the story how we live, and we'll understand it better." Then she sang this. "We are often tossed and driven on the restless seas of time. Summer skies and howling tempests off the sea of bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by." Sing it, everybody. Well,
by and by,
when the morning comes, all the saints of
God,
we will tell the story. You know that, Dad? Come on. Pop one. Come on, sing the chorus.
By and by, when the morning comes,
we'll all
back on my God.
God, we thank you today. We thank you for all he has done, all he's doing, and all he's going to do. I thank God for another day, for this is the day that he has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And, okay, God bless you. God bless you. Minister Nathaniel Wilson, that's our guest for today, and he's over on Blog TV as well. And I just wanted to say welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Mack of Freedom Doors Ministries. And I come to you live every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is December the 11th, 2012. God has blessed us with 12 months and 11 days into this new year. And I tell you, it is going on out of here, and we're just grateful. Good morning, Pastor Stan. God bless you. And listen, if y'all want to kick someone out of here for foolishness today, feel free to do just that. Feel free to kick them out. I gave your operators permission, so if you'll help me man this chat room, just kick the devil right out. When you come talking crazy, you got to go today, because I don't have time for foolishness. But, you know, people are hurting inside, and it shows up on the outside what they are going through. And all of their actions is ugly. So they do ugly things, say ugly things, and because of what's going on the inside of them. And we understand that today. And we don't get upset with people, but we pray for them, and we move right on. And, again, today our guest is none other than Minister Nathaniel Wilson. And when he come in, we will ask him a little bit more about himself, where he's from, and that kind of thing. And whatever he share with us, we tell God thank you. So at this time, I want to go to one more song of the day. And when we come back, we'll come back with our morning scripture. And from our morning scripture, we'll give morning announcements, maybe play one more song. And then we'll bring in none other than Minister Nathaniel Wilson. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And let's see. Let's go to this one this morning. I like this little song.
What do you think about Jesus?
Source of survival.
Father, we come asking for forgiveness today of all our sins and all our wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, and our wrong feelings. And though our sins be as scarlet this day, we ask that you would wash us as white as snow, cleanse us this morning from all unrighteousness. Give us a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within us. And, Father, we thank you this morning for forgiveness. We thank you for looking beyond our faults and yet meeting our needs. Father, we thank you for putting our sins and wrongdoings in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. Oh, we thank you this morning. Only a great love could do this for us. And, Father, we come bringing every caller and every listener before you this morning and those that are sick. Father, those that are incarcerated today, we ask, God, that you would heal the sick and that you would set free those that are incarcerated. Father, every caller and every listener, we ask that you would bless them going out and bless them coming in. We ask today, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would meet the needs in their lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we ask today, that, Lord, you would move for their families, move for their children, their jobs, their households, God. Lord, whatever the need is, do it today for your glory and that your people come out with the testimony of my God did it for me again. Father, we ask this morning that you would bless our guests as they come in. Use them this day in your service to bless your people and that your name will be glorified. Father, we pray for every Blog Talk host that's leading others to Jesus and teaching and preaching your truth the way you want us to apply to our everyday lives. Father, we ask this morning that you would bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning. Have your way here today. We bind up every evil and hindering and negative spirit that's coming our way today in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we loose your anointing over Blog TV and Blog Radio that everyone come through, God. You will bless them this day in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your move already. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Again, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And hallelujah. We give God the highest praise today, for there's none like him. Yeah, Lord Jesus. We thank him. We thank him. I put the chat on guest. No one could chat over on Blog TV, but I opened it back up because I was praying and I didn't want any distractions in the room there. But it's open, so if you have something to say, you can type it in. And I want to say good morning to Joy and Peace. God bless you over in the chat room at Blog Talk Radio. God bless you for coming through today. It is indeed a pleasure to see you here. And we're just grateful. We're grateful unto the Lord. And I want to say good morning, Sister Andrea Ellis and Sister Harris in the house today. And God bless you for coming through this morning and tuning in with us. Those that are coming through LinkedIn and Twitter and MySpace, the website, and wherever you come through this morning, we tell the Lord thank you for you tuning in with us. You know, a party is better when you have guests. Yeah, a dinner is better when you eat with someone, I think. Yeah, so the saints of God, when we come together, the saints of God are just better because we've come together, not just necessarily that we have someone to hear us or to listen to us, but we're the people of God and we're peculiar people. And there's not a whole lot of us. There's not a lot of us. And so when we come together on one accord. And this morning we come to give God the first fruit of our day as a group. And so it's just a blessing to come together in the morning. It's lifting up the name of Jesus. He said if he be lifted up, it's him that will draw all men unto him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel all right now about that thing. If he be lifted up, it's him that do the drawing. And, you know, many of us, we want our loved ones saved. We want this to take place and that to take place. But unless Almighty God draws them, they cannot come. Yeah, we have to take that into consideration. If God does not draw them, they will not come. So this is why we want to lift him up. so that Almighty God can do the drawing. Hallelujah. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Psalms 100. That's Psalms 100, and we'll be reading all five verses. And in Psalms 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Even the generations that has not been born yet. His truth endureth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So today I know God not to be a liar. And I know his word hold true today. And we just thank him. We just thank him this morning. And our morning announcements are simply go to www.freedomdoorsministries.com and take a look around the website there. There's a guest book over there. And on the bulletin, if you go down the page, it will show you who will be our guest on Jesus in the Morning for the week. I try to get it done between Saturday and Sunday, but sometimes I'm a little busy and I'm a little slow posting, but I try to be as quick with it as possible so people will get to know who's coming, because many like to hear the different speakers. And so we just thank God. We just thank him for sending speakers our way. Yeah, preachers and ministers and pastors and these apostles and bishops, evangelists, prophets. God has sent us some wonderful speakers over the years. And if we can just hold on to his word, we will be all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're moving right along this morning. And I'm trying to get our guest in by 7:30. But this morning he may not get in until 7:35. So let's go quickly to another song. And after this song, we'll bring in our guest speaker, none other than Minister Nathaniel Wilson. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let's go here. All right. Okay, okay, okay. I want to play this.
Was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
In my mind, what happened? I just want to remind everybody that prayer is where we need to go. And so with that, I'm going to, you know, just start off with a little, open up with a little prayer here, and then we'll begin. And Lord, I would like to, first of all, give you the honor. Lord, for you have provided such a fantastic and loving way that we have access to through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, we know that when we pray and we ask things, Lord, we don't know all the things we need to ask for. But Lord, you know our needs, and Lord, you know our wants. And God, we're asking you right now, Lord, is to emblaze upon our hearts what you have us to understand in your word right now. And I pray and I ask this in your Son, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes we have, I used to have a substitute teacher. Used to come in, you know, back in the day, I used to be in a smaller classroom when I was a young boy because I used to get into trouble all the time. They had these little special classrooms for bad kids, and I used to be in them all the time. And they used to have a substitute teacher come in, and whenever the substitute teacher come in, I started really acting up. And, you know, and I realized whenever I had the substitute teacher, I never got what I needed from that academic time that I was in school. And I think it is just like that. Sometimes we substitute a lot of things for prayer when we have troubles. But there is no substitute for prayer. Because if you were to lose your leg, you know, we can always find an artificial leg to replace it. So we can always find a substitute for that. And if we nowadays we have the internet, so we can communicate through different ways of communicating. So we can substitute one form of communication for another. But one form of this that we cannot substitute is prayer. We cannot take prayer out of our lives. We need prayer more than anything else in our entire lives. Now, so what we need to do is figure this out. You know, our intellect can't be a substitute for prayer. Our eloquence and speech can't be. And either our enthusiasm or our energy. There is no substitute for prayer. And so what we have to do today, ladies and gentlemen, and those that are probably listening on this into the future, we need to understand that, you know, there's different ways we have to go about this. And I think we can learn a little bit about this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. And I want to go there and I'll read it out. And in chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and ye shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and unto him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what a man is there for you whom is his own son and asks for bread? Will he give him a stone? And if then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto his children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And so we have to ask that question. You know, "Ask and it shall be given unto you." So we're going to put this message here today in three easy divisions. And one of them is you know, what's the reason for our prayer? So, you know, you got a lot of people out there that's not saved, so they're going to ask, you know, what is the reason for our prayer? Now, I pondered about this in, you know, many years of my early life. You know, why do we have to pray? You know, why is prayer? I used to even ask that question before I got saved because I always wondered why people would pray. I just didn't understand it from that perspective. But Jesus taught us very plainly and clear so we don't have any doubts, and so that we don't have anything to ask after we doubt when God makes it plain to us for our understanding. He already knows what we need of, and he has an infinite love, so he knows what we ought to be praying for. Hallelujah. And we have to ask God from, you know, what we want from God, because he had planned this out for us in his word that we ask. It was a commandment that was given. So we should have to look at what we have here in the word of God. And so we have a few questions we would like to put on the front line, and one of them is, why we have to pray? You know, why we have to go to God and ask him for the things that we need? And why do we need a friend in Jesus just to get our prayers answered? Well, there's a couple of different reasons, and as we always iterated, if everyone that asketh and receive, everyone that asketh shall receive, but there's a process to this that we must understand. And we must get this, this must be understood clearly. So in Matthew chapter 6, we will find there that Jesus would say that, but when you pray, we ask not in vain, or we don't pray in vain repetition. Like the heathen do, for they speak, and so be heard with their very much speaking. In other words, that's basically saying, when they do pray, they want to have their prayer mentioned over and over and over again. So it make it seem like they're really into their prayer, but that's not what God is interested in. You know, God is not interested in that at all. So, you know, he's given us our model prayer. And after this, we pray, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, in this verse, we learn some things. First of all, we do not pray to God to impress him. We don't have to impress God with anything. All we have to do, it's just be ourselves and understand that God understands our heart and understand our minds. And so we don't have to get into no kind of specific Shakespeare's, get into some kind of poetry where we have all this floretic words coming out of our mouths. That's not the language we need to speak, and especially those that really don't understand that it's our plain language, that God is listening to us, not with the tongue, but with the heart. And so we don't have to go through that vain repetition. You know, so we're not trying to inform God about what we're going through, because he already knows that. And in verse 8, it says, your Father knows whatever things you have need of. And so we don't have to pray and impress God. We don't have to inform God, but we are trying to invite God. We're trying to bring God closer to us so we can start to develop this relationship. Because every time we pray, we have to have that in mind. Not only do the newer saints, like when people, the first time they ever prayed before in their lives, there are some people out there that have never prayed to God before in their life. And so they want to, you know, have that close relationship. And so they listen to some of these saints out here, and they pray with such esteem and such zeal, and it makes them feel like we are praying at a distance. But that's just not reality. Reality is that we are too, even as saints, we're finding ourselves just like we were when we first started praying to God. Sometimes it's because because what we're trying to do is invite God, and we're trying to find a place where we can communicate to God. And so everybody needs to understand that. We're not trying to give any other reasons for prayer, or we're not trying to show off. We're really trying to say, oh, God, I want to get close to you. And so we want to find a place where we can delight in his prayer. And we also want to find a place where once we get to that place, we can start seeing the different ways that God loves us. And because that's where our relationships start to develop, through prayer. And, you know, because, you know, God is in control of this entire universe. And in that universe, more than anything, he wants a relationship with us. He desired to sit with us in a private place and talk with us, whatever's on our hearts and on our minds. But there are some things we have to take into account when we pray to God as well. Being that he wants to fellowship with us, and while God is administrating this whole entire universe, we have to understand that when we're praying, we are praying for the privilege of working with him, you know, because prayer is a part of your workmanship, because God has given us that commandment that we ought to pray. It's not just a point where we come to and we do it at our own will, because whatever we want, we ask. But as we learn more about God and his, you know, everlasting love and his mercy and grace, we start to understand that it is indeed about his favor in us and his relationship that he wants with all of us, with all of mankind. And so what we have to understand here as well is with this, and so what do we do? You know, how do we bring this together? You know, if we're just a beginning saint, we don't know pretty much about prayer. Nobody's in full expert. So what do we do? I think the first thing we have to understand is when you get up early in the morning and when there is nobody or nothing to distract you, you know, that's a good privileged time to give God some honor or to give him thanks. Or just to say something to God as to let him know you recognize that he's the reason why you're able to get up that morning. And so then every day we can have a place with God. And so then, you know, we continue on with some type of enthusiasm, whether if you are a saint who says, hey, I know nothing about God, Brother Nate, or Minister Barbara, or Pastor so-and-so. You know, what am I supposed to do, you know, once I get saved? You know, I prayed that the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, so what do I do? Well, you need to pray that you keep some kind of enthusiasm, because that's important. You need to have, I think, at least some zeal. You know, as long as it's not enough, too much zeal to make you foolish, but enough zeal where you keep yourself enthusiastic about being in a private place in prayer with God. And another reason why I think this is a good area of understanding is that we have to understand that we're praying for God's spirit and as well as his guidance, because we're going to need to be in his presence at some time, even if it's just a few minutes in a day, because out during our day, we're not always acknowledging his presence, because our flesh is always in war with us. And even though we know he's omnipresent, he's present with us most of the time, and all of the time, we just, our flesh and our minds are so occupied with the daily chores of life that we don't understand that. So we have to seek God for his presence. And we also have to understand that we need to pray so we can find a way to be in accordance, in one accord with God's will. And that's another important area, and we'll also get into that as well. And we also want to pray to be in accordance with God's word. I remember when I when I first got saved, I didn't have a home to go to, and I didn't have anybody to go to. There was this one minister that he owned an apartment building, and he let me stay in this apartment for about at least 20 or 30 days. And the only thing he would allow me to listen to as far as anything on radio or anything on TV was Christian stuff. He didn't let me listen to anything else. He said, you're not watching no TV, you're not doing nothing else. He was paying the rent, so I had to respect it. And so, in the middle of the night, the only kind of entertainment I had was a Christian radio station. And it was constantly feeding my spirit about the Word of God because, they preached practically all day and night. And every now and then they have a little, Christian gospel music, but most of it was mostly preaching. And that's where I began to learn that where you have to start doing things according to the Word of God. And so then I started thinking, okay, well, is that something you just get up and do, or is it something you have to wait on for someone else to instruct you to do? But it's not really like that, because when we start praying and we're starting to ask God for give us the thing that we're asking for. If you're asking for wisdom, you have to ask according to His Word. And if you're seeking knowledge, then you most definitely have to do it with reading and of the Word of God, and reading and praying with the Word of God. And these things are essential to spiritual growth and to understanding what prayer is all about, because there is some dynamic to it. There is some order to it. And so when we start seeking God, and after we understand we need to be in the will of God, now we understand we have to have the Word of God, and we have to walk according to the will and the Word, we have to understand how to, to be determined to not give up. Like, for instance, when we pray, we might pray, Lord God, just, save me from from my flesh, because I'm desiring things that I shouldn't. And that's what we want to do. We want to go to God and ask Him about everything, even the small little itty-bitty things that you struggle with. And it's not an embarrassment. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to feel in your heart that you have the freedom and access to come to Him boldly. And that bold word is not necessarily an aggressive word, but that bold word is knowing and believing in faith that Jesus Christ has died on the cross and He rose again for your sins. And so because of that, you have access to God through Jesus Christ. And so, it gives you that little extra, oomph in your prayer life. And it gives you that little extra oomph in your knowledge as far as what you know about God. And so when you start to seek God, you don't stop. You don't stop. You don't just say, okay, now I know that God said I'll have to seek His Word, and I did that. Now, you've got personal things you got need of, right? You might have a particular route that you need to go. You might have a ministry. You might have a developing ministry. You might have in your ministry individuals that are placed there that may not be ready yet for a full form of ministry. And so we have to understand how to seek God and continue to stay determined while we're praying for any particular thing. And so God said we should knock. And so when we knock, we're not just knocking. And what are we knocking? And that's a good question to those that don't know. These saints are talking about knocking on something. How can we knock on something? Where there is a door, and there is a spiritual door that we knock on. And that door that we knock on is not always going to open when you knock on it. It's not going to open when you twist on the knob. It's not going to open because you want it to be open, and you say, Lord, open the door. I am here. I am your servant. That door is specifically open by faith. And that door is also open by the understanding in accordance to God's will. Now, these are things that we look at when we're talking about what we need to do next. When we pray for something, we ask, then we seek, ask, and we ask according to the will of God, and we seek the word of God. And so now we're at a place where we've done that, and you can't give up. No matter what you are faced with, you cannot give up on continually to knock at God's door. And we have to understand that this is a very important area to a lot of people who are now just becoming to be believers, and to those who are waiting on God and who have been waiting maybe even for years for an answer. It could be a potential relationship, or it could be a particular movement in a ministry to deepen your work in the Lord, where you can have more access to resources. And so what we do is this. When we start knocking on heaven doors because we have access, we have to have a very realistic expectation. Because realistically, sometimes you might get an answer right away. And if you do get an answer right away, should you react? Yes, you should. You should praise God for all of it, no matter if it's a tiny, reasonable, just thanksgiving, and you're praying and you're just thanking God for getting you up in the morning. That's just reasonable, what God does to us every day, for us every day. And so how do we get to that next level of understanding how to be patient with God and how to deal with things, deals with these different areas of prayer? Well, we're going to need this, which is very important, and which is understanding. And because we can't just believe with our own eyes. Like, for an example, you take a boy. And let's say he has his eye on a particular girl, and he wants to date her. So, you know, he goes after the girl, and he asks for a date, and she says no, you know. And so he wondered to himself, you know, why she won't date me. Maybe it's my breath, or, you know, maybe it's, you know, my teeth. So he goes back home, and he brushes teeth. You know, he makes sure his dental hygiene is together. Then he comes back, and he asks the girl, you know, hey, you know, can we date? I'm interested in you. And so she says no again. So he goes back, and he's thinking, oh, wait, maybe it's my hair. Or, you know, maybe it's my clothes. So he changes his groom. You know, he changes his outerwear. He changes his pants, his shirt, and he put on something neater. And he goes back, and she says no again. And so after all of this grooming he's doing to himself, he's increasingly making himself better, even without realizing it. And I think that process must be understood as well when we're seeking God, when we knock on heaven's doors and we're asking for prayer, and it may be something that we may be dealing with. It may be, you know, selfishness. And so we go back and we say, oh, Lord, what is it that I'm having a problem with, reason why my prayers are not getting answered? So we'll go back again, and we'll say, Lord, we'll knock on his door. Lord Jesus, you know, this is my request, and I just believe it's in your will, and my prayers are not answered yet. So you go back, and you clean yourself up a little bit more for Jesus. You go back, and you'll work on the fruits of the Spirit. And he said, maybe it's my fruits of the Spirit. Maybe it's my joy, you know, or maybe it's my peace is not right, or my love maybe it's my charity. And so in your mind, you want to work on these things because you want your prayers answered. And so it is when the – let's go back to the boy. Let's say he finally went to the girl, and the girl and said, okay, yeah, I'll date you, right? And he you know, he got his prayers answered. You know, he'd been asking God to date this girl. Now, this is a make-believe story. But it's to show you, you know, how if we really want something, what it's going to take for us to get our prayers answered. And sometimes we think it's all about other things, and God could be saying it's something that you're doing personally. If you change this and perfect that, make yourself a much more presentable to me and by the way you live, the way you're presenting yourself. It could be any of those type of factors. And so we have to look at that as being a very important, significant part of understanding when we're knocking on heaven's doors, or we're seeking God, and we already have His Word, and we have proclaimed the will of God for our lives, and we're trying to understand what we need to do next. And that's something that's very important, is to understand that point of view, is that as Christians, and whether you are a new believer, never give up. And if you go there and you're answering that prayer, hey, go back and consider yourself, examine yourself, you know. Consider what is going on in your own spirit, in your own person. Then go back to God and work it out with the Word. You know, get in that private place and find out how to live through the gifts of the Spirit. The things that you need to do. And so that's very important. Now, no matter what your prayers are a result of God answering your prayers, because sometimes it's delayed, you know. Sometimes it's delayed, and it has to be for a reason. Or sometimes the prayers don't get answered. And what if they don't get answered? So when I say, oh, Lord, God, I pray right now that my relationship with my ex-wife is repaired so I can get along with my child or my son or my daughter or better, because I want my son to see God in me. So what if that prayer isn't answered? So what if that other prayer isn't answered? A pastor, you know, have a lack of laymen in his church. And so, you know, the men of God that's in the church, you know, not really living up to their, you know, qualifications. So, you know, he has to work harder. So he has to spread himself out. And so he's asking God for a faithful servant. So what if that kind of prayer doesn't get answered? You know, so what do we do? You know, this is what we do. We go back to God's Word, because what it's really all about, it's about a relationship with God. No matter what we're going through, that's ultimately what it's all about. It never was ever meant to be about what you want. It was never ultimately ever meant to be about what you think you need. But it was really meant for you to exercise an intimate relationship as much, many times as you go back and ask God. That's more time you have to spend with God. So you have to think about that as being a part of this prayer, of this understanding of getting into praying, or getting into understanding about prayer. That's what it's really all about. It never was about the members in the church. It wasn't about, you know, relationships as much as you think, you know, with the external family members or friends, trying to get relationships right with that, because that's not what God is worried about. He's worried about your relationship with Him, because that's more concerning. And so let's go here and find what we're looking for in the Word. All right, in I'm going to go here to in Luke chapter 18. And I'm just going to read this through here. And it's going to be a very good illustration of how God used normal everyday situations where you wouldn't think it, and how God would bring it through. Let's see it here in chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them in this end, that men ought to always pray. Now that's a commandment, as I mentioned earlier. And to those that who don't really know God to in a strong degree, that there's an understanding, not only to you, but even to the strong saint, or even to the solid saint, or to the mature saint, or to the saint that eat meat, that God is commanding us to pray, saying that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she worry me. Now think about that. Huh? Now she is continually seeking God. So he's saying, I have to give some attention to this widow. And see, we have to understand that. That doesn't mean that her prayers get answered. But what does that mean? That we have to continually seek and knock after God. Right? So that's what that's coming from, and that's what that really is. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she worry me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he shall find faith on the earth. The Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And so, so to us, we have to understand that this is a very important part of our understanding, that we have to continue to seek God with all of our might and strength. And it is not for so you can get up and do the things you think you need to do, but it's so you can establish forevermore a continued relationship with God, so you can be in the will of God, so we can exercise the fruits of the Spirit. Because one of the most important things we have that we have to show everybody else is the love of God, is that we should desire Christ in us so that others can see Christ. That's very important for me, and I think it should be very significant for others. Because we only have so much time on this earth, and we're gonna work hard anyway. That's nothing new. And whether you have a small dimension of your prayer, that doesn't matter. If your dimension of your prayer is multidimensional, because you have a high level of responsibility. And what's most important is that we understand that we have to seek God, and we're seeking him for a relationship, because that's where it's at, that's where it's at. When my daughter, and she's down at the juvenile center, when she calls me, everybody always said, man, your daughter is just so excited to talk with you. I said, yeah, it's sort of like the prodigal daughter. She realizes what a blessing, it was to, to be with her father, be with her family. She was acting up, and of course, she's got to do what she's got to deal with. But the most important thing is she understands now how important all those things that I was teaching her before she got there. But she didn't recognize then because, you know, she was all in her own mind and, you know, strong-headed and tough-minded, so she wanted to do whatever she wants to do. And, you know, so now she's the most loving child ever. You know, and so I just thank God, you know, for all the different things that we go through in life. And I'm sure she's praying in her troubles, you know, and she's praying through her struggles. And, you know, so shall we. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, our struggle sometimes is meant to be. You know, it's not meant for us to live a secure life where we don't have any problems, where there's nothing to shake us. There's nothing to ride against us. There's no abrasives against us as living this life. That's just not going to happen. That's not even realistic. And we need to understand that, you know, as saints, and we need to get other people to understand that as well, that, you know, some newcomer that's out there and want to know, what is the life like? Is it just a good life? Yes, it's a good life. You know, God's burden is light and his yoke is easy. But we understand that because of what we learn from the Word. And it takes faith to be in that position because our minds and our flesh won't, you know, naturally allow us to flow in that spirit. And we have to continue to pray and ask God for strength daily, you know. We're not the saints that these some people that are presenting out in the world today. We're real people. We're real human. We're real persons. And so what we really want is we want a relationship with God. No matter what infirmities that we go through, no matter what obstacles we have to hurdle over, no matter how high that mountain is that is our desire as Christians. And so we need to let everybody understand that, because a lot of people think that we're super saints, and that's just not true. That's far from the truth. We need to let people know we're human, and that we're liable to make mistakes and bad decision making too, when we get in our own flesh, just like anybody else would. And so, you know, that's why I wanted to bring this enlightenment a little bit into focus, is because, you know, that prayer life is where our true power as saints, it's where the true power that we have, that God has given us, that we have, and it's something that we take for granted all the time. And I think it's one of the most untapped sources of powers, you know, in the universe is prayer. It's prayer life. I mean, that's got to be the most important part of our living, you know, regardless of what you may think you may be going through, or regardless of what you know, whatever kind of level of faith that you know about the Word of God or not. But that is the most important established power that we have, because that's how we communicate. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have that place with him, to sit beside him and talk to him, you know. Talk to him about, you know, our situations. They don't have to be perfect. You ain't got to ship shape up your words to talk with God. You can talk to God like, you know, you're talking to yourself. You know, man, I got nappy hair. God, I got nappy hair. Jesus, Lord, I need help. You know, my heart is broken for real. Somebody came into my life and took my heart and twisted it into another zone. And, Lord, I need for you to help me. I need for you to help me because, Lord, my nerves is bad. And, Jesus, I need for you to understand that I get nervous trying to talk with you sometimes because I don't even know if you're listening. Or God, you know, when I read the Word, I find myself confused. Some of these words in the Bible, I just can't unravel. Some of these parables are just not making sense. And so we can talk to God just about anything. And when we do that, that's saying not only to our own heart, because we're speaking to ourselves, but we're talking to God that, hey, you know, I really do have a friend. I really do have a friend in Jesus. And all this time while I'm praying for money, or I'm praying for the establishment or the church or business or the politicians or to help save the sick or whatever I'm praying for. It's that that's what it really was all about, that God just want to spend time with me. He just want to spend time with me. He want me to be a person to him and not like I'm some kind of angelic force. But he just want to be intimate. He want to hear what you got to say. He want to hear your sincere heart. And so, you know, that's what it's really all about. And so I just wanted to also, you know, come back to another point that, you know, with all this prayer and everything, that, you know, one of the things that we have to understand is that along with the commandments is that, you know, like I said earlier, you know, God has clearly given us some understanding, and especially to the believer, you know, that God has told us plain out simple, this is a commandment. And Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray. You know, and Jesus said to his disciples, and I think that was Mark 14:38, be careful for nothing, but always in everything, prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. And so, you know, we have a responsibility, but we also need to let everybody else know that it's not a hard task. It is not a complicated thing. And you don't have to sound like the greatest prayer in the world to commune with God. And, you know, always, I think that was something that really hit me when I was, when I first got saved, because when I got saved, and people would tell you to be yourself, but you kind of have the question, like, what does that actually mean? Oh, well, it means what it really says, even though people are right. But we make it, sometimes we make it a little complicated because of what we see people go through. We see people that can perform prayers that are like, wow, you know. So to the unlearned saint, that's like, wow, I can never pray like that. But to us, we understand that, well, at least some of us understand that we get into that place because we recognize that with prayer we can worship, and with prayer we can give God thanks, and we can experience the Holy Spirit, and we can have guidance. We can get into a zeal, we can get happy about it, and we can be filled with joy. And so I think that's something that we need to put in plain words for some other people, because they don't understand that. You know, they think you got to go to college to understand that. You know, and it's not really like that. It's a matter of the heart. The heart condition was always the thing that God is interested in, you know. And so, you know, with that, and with the fact that that the Bible tells us that we ought to do everything in prayer, you know. And, you know, and I think that's something that we have to understand, that, you know, we can't do anything outside of God's power, even though we do a lot of times, we do a lot of things outside of God's will. But, you know, why did God allow us to do all of these things that it's really, you know, not right? And that's really because of his grace and his mercy. You know, his mercy and his grace is so fantastic and so widely given to everybody, you know, not just to the chosen, but he's offering this to every man, no matter what their sin is. And I think that's pretty amazing. And so we have to look at that as well. And so I really want to just say, basically, we want to get down to this. We want to say, okay, so how do you go to God in prayer? Well, one thing we need to understand is that, and then I'll probably close in a little bit here, is that we're not in it for selfish reasons. And so we can't have the lack of faith. And lack of faith also with prayer doesn't mix. It's sort of like having oil and water. You know, at first when you're mixing it, it seems to be blending pretty well. As soon as you sit there and walk away from the prayer, the oil and the water tends to separate. And so we don't want to do that. We need to have the faith that blends with the Spirit of God and according to the will of God. We have to understand that's very important as well. So we need to have commitment, we need to have faith, and we need the Word of God, and we need to understand what the will of God is in the Word of God to go on to the next level. And so we can start walking with Him, you know, because God don't want us to be dependent on ourselves. He wants us to be independent on Him. I mean, dependent on Him, not independent on ourselves. He wants us to be dependent on Him. And so, you know, how do we do that? Well, if you fail to have any kind of consistent prayer with your life, if you pray anytime, I don't care if it's you know, you went to church one day and you felt a little move of God, but you're not sure about it. Well, I think prayer is probably the only thing, if not the Word of God itself, that can keep you as close as you can possibly get to God. And so, you know, that's part of like that depending factor of it. You know, you really need to depend on God, because He has the answers for you in your daily lives. Not me, not a pastor. You know, I could have put some kind of little eloquent thing together, even though I probably didn't, but I could have. But that's not what it's really all about. I really wanted to express what I've been experiencing in my life. And, you know, as far as when I first got saved and I started to pray to God, you know, I mean, I was just like many other people. I had no idea what I was praying about. And, you know, I was doing things like other people were doing. Until I started learning that it wasn't really about those things at all. It was really about just God just wanting us to be there in your prayer, you know, just to be there with you and let you know that, you know, you can be there with Him if you, you know, tighten up and, you know, ship your ship right, you know, and that's what it's all about, you know. So because that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to come into the knowledge of, you know, your Lord and Savior, which is Jesus Christ. He's sent His only begotten Son down here, and He died on the cross for us and for you, and He rose again. And so He wants us to take upon this faith belief in Jesus Christ so we have access to God, because we died from sins long time ago, way back when Adam was here. You know, no man can, you know, had access to God until we had a Redeemer to come through and reestablish our relationship, or reestablish our access to God. So, and we have that now. And so to all of us good saints, and to all of us soon-to-be saints, is that we have to understand that when we're praying, no matter what, how particular you are in your situation, is that we must understand that it's not really about all of those fancy things. It's really about just a simple, easy relationship with God. You know, and that's what it really is all about. Because at the end of the day, if all things go down and everything begin to burn right before your eyes, that's going to be the only thing you got. And if everything starts to change, where it's out of your control, where, you know, things in your life and people in your life begin to change right before your eyes, one day you're friend and next day you're not, you know, that's going to be the only thing you got is that prayer, you know. You know, Jesus Himself, you know, before He was sacrificed, He spent time in prayer. You know, I mean, the Son of God spent time in prayer. I mean, He didn't have to, but He spent time with God before that. And I think that's an understanding. That's a area of understanding that we need to know. You know, because when we get ready to do something, no matter what it is, we should think like that too. You know, we should think about prayer.
Nathaniel, you have 2 minutes.
All right. And so I'm just going to go ahead and end this with a little gift of prayer to those that may be without today, maybe without God, maybe without an understanding of His Word. And to those that are without anybody to support them in their troubles or whatever that they may be going through, this is that prayer for you. God, I just would like to first of all acknowledge, Lord, that it was Your Word, Father God, that You've given us, that, you know, if anyone seeketh, Lord, and seek Your Word and Your understanding and pray according to Your will and according to Your Word, Lord, You will give us the thing that we're asking for, if it is according to Your Word. And that whoever seek You, Lord, and that they will find whatever knowledge that they're seeking from You. And Lord, whatever that heart is needing, Father, that they don't give up, that they continue to knock and plead and cry after You. Because in that way, we understand that, you know, God, Lord, that You are a God that is about business. And You are a Lord that means business. And Lord, I believe that right now, that one soul that needs to hear this message, Lord God, I pray that that person understand that You don't have to speak eloquent. You don't have to have a heart of steel to go before God. All you need is just faith, because that is what we need to get God's attention. And we need to have an enduring faith that gives us the desire to continue to seek and knock after in prayer, Lord. And Lord, I believe it right now, there's a young man right now somewhere that's out there, Lord, and he's troubled in a family. His father or somebody in his family could be doing someone else in harm, and he's worried about other people in his family. And God, I believe right now, Lord, that You're there to touch that individual, to bring them somebody who can give them some support, to send a message to that young man that there's a God in heaven that's trying to get his attention and help bring him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I believe right now, Lord, there's a young girl in a juvenile center somewhere that want to come back home. But Lord, You know when it's the right time for those things to happen. And God, You just send her a message of comfort that no matter what that person in the juvenile center is going through, Lord, You know that it's just a matter of time where You're going to present Yourself to them and save them and have a wonderful, loving relationship with that individual. We believe that right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'd like to thank You for this little, small, and blessed privilege to come on this ministry and speaking on Barbara Mack's ministry right now. Lord, I'd just like to thank You for her and the other listeners and for all of those and those support now. Lord, I'd just like to thank You, God, because You've been a blessing. And I believe that right now, that You're going to continue to increase in their lives and increase on their ministry, Lord. It's not what we say, but it's who we say it to. And I'd like to thank You, God, right now for this time of being in Your presence, Father God, because that's what it's really all about. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to open up the studio. People were falling off. What I've learned over the years is that don't give them too much at one time. You know, give them so much or move to something else quickly, because people get what I call stable too long and they don't like it. They get the wrestling and moving around. So that's why I try and give speakers a certain amount of time, and then we cut it off. But we thank God for the power of prayer today, and we have Bible Truth by Benny. And Bible Truth, this is what it is. The Word of God says, spare not, cry loud and spare not. And we are, whether you want to accept the fact or not, we are human beings. And when we say human beings, that means your flesh. Yeah, your natural man. You're the natural man and you're the spirit man if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as your personal Savior. And the spirit man and the natural man, that human being man, is constantly warring against each other. And we're not giving way or giving place to people to sin. And we're not giving way and place to people to sin with a thought of, I can repent because the blood of Jesus will cover me. The blood of Jesus is a very serious thing, very serious. Jesus suffered. He suffered. He bled. Yeah, he suffered, man. Hung, bled, died, conquered all, and rose with all power. And today, many of us, we try to save folks ourselves. This is why we talk the way we talk, because we want to save somebody. We can't save anybody. The Word of God says it. I didn't say it. You can't hold it against me. I was not there when God inspired man to write it. But the Word of God says if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Now, that's what he said. But we must lift him up. And we must lift him up in spirit and in truth. Those of us that know the truth, those of us that have the Holy Ghost, we're accountable to share with others the goodness of Jesus. But we're lifting him up in sharing nothing of ourselves. We're not trying to get folks to come to our church, our ministry, our radio show, our television show. We're trying to encourage others to come to Jesus, for he's the way, the truth, and the life. And when it comes to prayer today, this is what I found out over the years. I was a sinner, undone wretch. I'm telling you, I was something serious. I was the dope lady. Do you hear what I say? And I was not playing games about selling drugs and making big money. So look, when my appointed time came, because God had a certain day he was going to draw me to him, and I was coming in because I was made for his pleasure. When God drew me in, listen, no preacher had to baby me. Nobody had to put me on the altar and beg me. Nobody didn't have to do anything for me. I received Jesus that day for myself. I met God some business. I had a well-made-up mind, and I was not afraid to go all the way with him. But when we come half-stepping and we don't have a well-made-up mind, then you need the pity party to come.
No.
You need the pity auxiliary, the pity committee to come to you, because you're not really ready to receive God and sell out to him with your whole heart. Talk about what about those that haven't come to him yet. Do you think God is a punk and a wimp? If he draw you, he can strengthen you. If he draw you, he can save you. He can sanctify you. He can fill you with his Holy Ghost. So we don't have to make no way for those who have not come, or those who hear the word and tell me they don't understand, they don't want to understand. And I say this all the time, and people come against me with this. Listen, if you find a woman that's battered and abused, as they're saying, when she gets sick and tired of being sick and tired, nobody has to help her. She's human. She's going to find a way out of that thing, but she's got to want to come out.
That's right.
Same thing with the world. You got to want to come out. Same thing with church folks who slipping and sliding, ducking and hiding. You got to want to be delivered. You got to want to be set free. You got to want to stay focused. You got to want to make God the Lord of your life. You must want to walk in the Spirit daily that you don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. My, my, my. But when you're making excuses and you're remembering when and you're not fully committed to God, there are going to be some problems in there. You're going to be weak as water. And you will make excuses for your flesh. Yes, you will. But when you sold out to him wholeheartedly, you won't make no excuses. You'll make that flesh come under subjection. That's what's wrong. Many come and they believe and don't do nothing else.
Oh, boy.
That's all they do is believe and they don't do nothing else. And when
That's
they
right.
get in the Word, they get in the Word because they want to give the Word to somebody else. They're not really getting in the Word so that they can take it wholeheartedly and be responsible for it, and you live by it daily. And let's go back to the prayer. He said some great things about that prayer. One thing I heard him say, feeding his spirit man. And that's what prayer will do too. The Word of God and prayer will feed your spirit man. Listen, two things I know. I'm going to start this way. When we come to God, we must believe. That's the first key. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You heard that? Believe and diligently seek him. He's going to reward you. And he's not just going to reward you with stuff and things. The house on the hill with the dog named Fluff and all this old materialistic stuff. He will reward you with an understanding of his word. Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Amen.
He will reward you with a better, stronger prayer life. He will reward you with more faith and confidence, trust in him.
Amen.
He will reward you and give you the way to lift him up so that he can draw others unto him. But we must have a personal prayer life and a personal Bible study life in hopes of gaining more faith and obedience unto Almighty God and his word.
That's right.
This is where we are. This is where we want to be if you're not. And we don't want to make no excuses for the flesh. A man told me the other day, oh, you just mean. I'm not mean, but I mean what I said. I mean what I say, yeah, I do that now. I'm not mean, but I do mean what I say.
That's right.
You could be a help to some man. I can't be a help to anybody unless God send them.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to have something in him. I'm not taking on no empty bucket. Are you kidding me? We will be unequally yoked. He's got to be somebody who understands the word of God. And if he see me acting as if I want to get out of line, he put the word to me. In other words, come on back, sister, get in your place. You're not going to lead and guide me. I'm the head of this household. I'm the man, not you. Sit down. What are you doing? The word says this and this and this. Because when you put the word of God to me, it brings fear to me. But you just an everyday man going to work or own your business, coming home, you ain't got the word. You ain't been practicing putting the word in practice. You haven't been practicing living the word of God. You will not be able to do anything with me. Because the first sign of weakness, guess what? You out of gas.
But you can do something with God, don't we? That's why we got Jesus. That's why he's strong. So we have to understand as well that, you know, with all the assertiveness of our flesh, we have to understand also that God wants us to be humble. And that's what we do. We take upon the word of God, as it says, like here in the book of in the book
thing,
of James.
This thing, Brother Nathaniel, the flesh don't keep coming up. That flesh don't keep coming up like that. you bring that flesh under subjection. You make that flesh behave. You ever heard of a thing called willpower when women say they dieting? Ooh, I got to work on my willpower.
That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, but sister, then I'm going to get on out of here in a little bit.
Okay.
But the Bible says, be ye so also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I like that because the Bible says, be also patient and establish your heart. So that's what's most important. And I've said that before. It's not what you say, but it's who you're saying it to. It's who you're talking it to. Because, you know, God is interested in you. He's not interested in our very much speaking. And so that's what I like about God. And
okay.
What keeps
well, this is,
all
this
of
is
us.
All I can say. This is all I can say right here.
Yeah.
It's appointed unto man once to die. This is all I can say at this point. And after death comes the judgment.
That's
it's
right.
Appointed once unto man to die. And after death, the next stage is judgment.
Hallelujah. That's a real good reason,
this,
you know.
People want it their way. God done said what he meant, and he done meant what he said.
All
right. And they want to go back because there's a way that seemed right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction.
That's right.
And see, when God is speaking, man, he don't even know. He don't even know that God is speaking. He's looking at the person. This is, oh my goodness. This is why I know what I know. But we're back to the word on the topic, and I know you have to go.
I just wanted to say thank you. I really do appreciate, you know, the time I spent here. You know, it's been a very good a moment for me to really just, you know, just share, you know, the fact that it's about the heart. Because when it comes down to it, that's what we're going to need to keep us going. That's what we're going to need to keep us strong. You know, I remember back when I was doing some Bible studies back in the years ago, I used to be, you know, I used to have the same kind of, you know, complex, you know, that everybody else have when we get real strong in the Lord, you know. And but, you know, God, you know, showed me something about the heart that, you know, is you know, because you have people in this world that cannot do the things that Jesus did, like even you and I, regular everyday people. And so, you know, and that's what I like about, you know, what God has to say about the heart. Because he tells us it's not all of those fantastic things that man do. It's not all the things that you do, that I do, that we do with our hands. But it's the things that we do when we're just alone with God. Because that's where he molds you. That's where he takes you. See, you can be fitted with a costume and go somewhere and look like Christ. You can be fitted with a pair of shoes and go somewhere and walk like Christ. You can
yes,
be
but this is what I want to know. When are you really going to be like Christ? And this
that's
is
what,
the next
what you,
thing.
You,
hold on, brother. This is the next yep. thing right here.
What's that?
We are trying to make excuses. I'm telling you, not only that, we are trying to bring people to God ourselves. We can't do this stuff. We make an excuse. Well, what about those who just heard the word for the first time? Look, God is no wimp. He's no punk.
Right.
He has
yeah, you know,
all the power. Listen, he know how many hairs are on your head. God made you. He know what size your kidneys are.
That's right.
So look, while we're trying to do God's job, what we need to do is get somewhere and grow in him.
That's
get
what we do.
Get a prayer life and a Bible study life going and learn daily how to walk in the Spirit of God that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh.
Exactly.
See, we're trying to understand something and we're trying to explain something instead of allowing the Spirit of God to come upon you and speak out of your mouth. You got to stir up this gift daily.
Mm-hmm.
And keep
that's
your eyes
you
closed to the flesh and bring that flesh under subjection and you won't fall from grace. But
amen.
Many fall away because of this. They won't stay focused.
That's right.
And when it comes to certain things, they don't want it God way. They want to make excuses and have it their way. They want to act like they're Burger King.
And
but I'm telling you, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death comes the judgment. Another
that's
thing,
right.
Everywhere that you have heard the truth, and you ignored the truth and made your excuses, you will stand before God for that as well. This is why I'm saying today, and one last thing, the studio is open too if anyone have anything they would like to say. One last thing is this right here. We must have a discernment of spirits because many times God is speaking out of my mouth and people think it's me and they're going to go give God his word and he done told them something. I don't understand. But
now,
then
everybody understands what you got to say.
No, what I'm saying is this. If you don't have a discernment of spirits, how will you know when God is speaking and when it's the person speaking?
Well,
you won't know.
I mean,
you
God given us his word, and, you know, the things that we don't know, we ask God. The Bible says if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Okay, but what if God already gave you something? Are you just going to continue to ignore it, or are you going to pick up your cross and follow him? Which are you going to do?
I think that just depends on what God is telling that particular person. And I think right now, God is telling all of us that it is about that plus special place. When we get ourselves alone, we sit down somewhere and we can stop running around trying to be something, and we can just sit there and understand that God is in control. And, you know, that's what it's all about. When we get to that place, and and say, hey, I'm tired of trying to work this stuff out. I'm going to depend on God's word and his understanding for guidance. And no matter how much I'm able to do, whatever I do, I'm going to put as much faith in believing in whatever word that God gave me. If it's only the one scripture, that's enough to keep me in the presence of God, then that's what I'll believe in.
Okay.
And if it's the whole word, and if it takes more word for you to have faith, then if that's the level of faith where you're at, then you need more. I think God would give it to you if you ask him.
Well, maybe I'm confused in there somewhat. Something is, I am just as confused as I can be because I don't understand. I don't know where we are. We started off with prayer. I answered and said some things over here to Bible Truth by Benny. I'm back on prayer. Prayer is the key. Your faith will unlock the door. Ask anything, it'll be done. God hears every word we say, and while we're calling, he's on the way. I know this. Prayer will fix it every time, over and over again. And listen, I want to request prayer today again. Y'all pray for me this week because the enemy, on every hand, that enemy is trying something. For great is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. Y'all pray for me this week. I need the sincere prayers of the saints. My. And it will be all right. And we want to pray in season and out of season. And as Minister Nathaniel has said, feeding that spirit man must be fed. And we feed him through prayer, prayers from your heart, no repetitions. We're not copying nothing. This is just coming straight from my heart, Almighty God, to you. And then his word, we want to pray and ask God for understanding of his word. Ask him for wisdom and knowledge of his word. Ask him to help us to apply his word to our everyday life in the name of Jesus. And we just thank God today. We have about 7 minutes left, and I was really intending to play another song. And oh, okay. I got your area code 904-327-75 is the last six. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Evangelist. This is Teresa.
Hey, Teresa. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
That's good. That's good. So how's Bishop Dole?
How's Bishop? He's fine. He's online listening.
Yeah.
He's listening. I just wanted to say that as far as prayer is concerned, I think a lot of times where people get in trouble is that they want to do all the talking and don't want to listen to God. You know, a lot of times it's God this, yada, yada, whatever, whatever, whatever. But we got to be quiet before him too and listen to him.
Yes.
I believe prayer is two ways. It's not just us running our mouths to God. But it's God speaking to us as well. Because we need direction, we need instruction, we need correction, you know, we need reproof, we need God to really talk to us, to lead us and guide us. So, and a lot of times what people is, they go in prayer and they tell God what they want, not ask God. I hear a lot of people tell God, God, you go and do this right now, you know, just telling God what to do and never taking time to just sit and listen to his instruction and what he has to say for you to do at that particular time or even that particular day.
Yes.
That's
and Teresa,
all.
I'm so sorry. I thought you was Teresa, Pastor Dole's daughter. This Bishop Scott, Teresa. And I agree with you, Teresa, because we must, this is what I've said often. Once we come up out of prayer, let's stand still.
Yes.
And begin to praise God and just stand still. And I know that God will speak back to you. And
yes,
I've learned that over the years. After coming up out of prayer, just wait a minute. Don't move so quick. He's going to speak back. And it is. It's a two-way street. You're asking him, and he will speak back to you.
Yes.
But it's just, we got to just allow him to be the Lord of our life and learn how to walk in the spirit of God daily. And we'll pray without ceasing. We will pray always, for the words that man should always pray and not faint. And prayer is not just a tool for us to just use God, because many people use it the way they use people. But prayer is a way of communication between man and God. And when I say man, I mean the generic term man and woman. It's a way for us to commune with him, to fellowship with him, to get instructions, specific instructions from him. And we'll be okay. We'll be okay. But this, we got to get some things right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sell out to God with your whole heart. And we don't want to make no excuses for the flesh, because it will. It'll bring some other things about. You make an excuse for one thing, you'll find yourself in some other things, and then when you know anything, you will have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Yeah, you will.
I like that part that you just said about making excuses for the flesh, because we know how to do that very well. Well, this is just the way I am. Well, my mama was like that, or my dad. Well, I just can't help it. Well, if we got the Spirit of God, we can help it. We can help it if we got the Spirit of God. It's about what we want to do. You know, we make excuses for our flesh all the time. And I have my hand raised because I'm a person that has done that for a long time and just made excuses for my flesh. But when it comes down to it, if you walk in the Spirit, when it comes down to it, if you really walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't do it. It's impossible. You can't walk in the Spirit and fulfill the lust of the flesh. Somebody lying. You can't do it.
Yeah.
And prayer will help us to be able to walk in the Spirit, because it keeps us in communion with God. We don't have to have a specific form or fashion. Like, my husband prays totally different than me, and I had to get off that thing of, you know, well, you're not praying right, because I was brought up in a tradition where, you know, you pray a certain way, and my husband was brought up in a different tradition, so he didn't pray like I pray. But that doesn't mean that his prayer is less effective than mine is. That man know how to pray. And when he prays, God hears him and answers him. So it's not a specific form of fashion that we have to follow. It's just your heart sincere when you're talking to him. And when you're talking to him and he talks back to you, are you listening to what he says? You don't have to go to God with $50 words, you know, and $100 words. He know our little raggedy stinking hearts anyway. So, I mean, come on. We got to go to God with what, even his neck? A pure heart. We got to go to him with a pure heart. He's not impressed with all the other stuff. We better go to him with a pure heart. My husband can pray for me any day. He can pray for me any day, because I know when he prays, God hears him.
I just want to say thank you for helping. That was, you know, I wanted to articulate that, but I didn't get a chance to do it. But that's okay. And it really felt good to hear from someone else. And so with that, and, you know, bless Minister Barbara Mack and all to all those others that I don't know, I just wanted to say thank you all for, you know, listening, and I appreciate it. I really do. And I'm about to get on off this phone, and I hope you all have a blessed day.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
And at this time, we're going to pray out, because it's right coming up about a minute to nine or so. So let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day. And God, your word said, when you hear my word, harden not your heart. And Father, I've obeyed you today, not my flesh, but you. And God, I know that your word won't return void. What you set out for it to do, it will do it. Ask this day that you would bless every caller and every listener. In the name of Jesus. Father, today I ask that you would move upon your word for your people. There are many who want to be strengthened, God. They don't want to be wimps and weak. They want to be strong. And God, I ask that you would move upon your word for your people again. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for this episode of Jesus in the Morning. God, we believe you're pleased today with your word that has gone forth. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, again, we thank you. Amen. And hallelujah.
Amen.
May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. In the name of Jesus. Go today in peace and love. Share the good news of Jesus with somebody. And give somebody something. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. And we pray that the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you all. So I'm going to say bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.